Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi folks, you're very welcome along to this week's Young Stock Podcast, the podcast by young journalists for the young readers and listeners of the Irish Farmers Journal. My name is Shannon Kinahan and I'm a pedigree reporter with the Farmers Journal, and on this week's podcast I was very fortunate to be joined by Niall Canning from Moss's Point in County Sligo. Niall is a young teacher, farmer and footballer, and on this week's show we spoke about all things Charlie's, shows, changing careers and balancing a very busy schedule. We even managed to fit in the quick fire round at the end. So Niall, thanks a million for joining us on the podcast. We're delighted to have you on.
Yeah, delighted. Thank you, Shannon. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. So Niall, you grew up in Sligo. So I suppose tell us a little bit about life in Sligo, growing up in a rural area, that kind of a thing.
I'm very fortunate. I'm living in Ross's Point here in Sligo. My mum, she passed away 7 years ago, but my mum and dad moved from Dublin. Both were in the bank, working in the TSB bank. And Dad got the opportunity to open the branch here in Sligo.
Okay.
So as Dad being from Mayo, Dad jumped at the idea. Mum, Dad and my three sisters headed for Sligo. They rented here for a few years and then they acquired a plot of land and built a house on it. And then that's when I arrived into the world as well. There was a few acres around the site, and Dad had mentioned to his brother, as an ag advisor, mentioned, look, should I get into cattle? Should I get into sheep? Should I get into horses? And his brother recommended, do you know what, Brendan, why don't you just buy a pedigree and have a pedigree there, have it at a small scale, and at least it's a bit of a hobby, and at least they'll keep eating the grass. And so that's when he headed and bought his first pedigree. Was never looked back then. That was probably in 1991. And then always in love with the shows. Probably our biggest success then came in 1999 when Dad and Peter Casey, a good friend of ours, headed for Tullamore, and they got second in a class in Tullamore, and that was a massive success. That was with Charlie. And then in 2002, we bought a Cemental heifer at the dispersal sale of the Monaduff Cementals of Alex Ross in Longford. And a year later, then the last RDS, which was held in Goffs, it was a spring show. In 2003, we ended up winning a red rosette. So that was in 2003, and I'm sure that was another highlight for us. But I suppose Charlie was our main focus. And in 2009, we headed for Tullamore to the national finals, and we had two nice Murdy Cinder calves with no expectations. We did know they were nice leaving the yard, but I suppose like every breeder and every show person, you know you have a nice animal, but it's when you go out and compete, that's when you realise what you really have. Yeah,
that's when you really find out what you have.
Yeah, exactly. So we ended up winning three All-Ireland titles that day with the two heifers, and winning then junior female champion then. And I'll never forget coming into Sligo that day, 2009, I'll never forget, I turned to Dad and I says, we have achieved our dream, we've achieved our target. We never thought we'd have the success then leading on from 2009 with the success that we've had winning in All-Ireland every year, going out competing. So we've just been on a huge and a really successful journey that we've loved, but it does bring pressure with it as well, because it's a bit like the Kerry football team or the Man United's in the world. You know, when they're winning, that's all you're used to is winning. and pressure comes with it too. But look, at the showing is a great way of meeting people. And I know some days you might not go your way, but you have to take it, and you have to move on. Like I remember, there was one day where we thought we had a good animal and we didn't win, but you just move on. You take it, you move on, and you look ahead. But I suppose the cattle opened up so many doors. Like, so it opens up so many friendships. It opens so many experiences. And even if there's any listeners out there that are thinking of getting into, whether it's commercial showing or pedigree showing, definitely give it a go. It's something that you will travel the world. You will always know somebody that will know somebody that will know somebody that has shown cattle or that has cattle. And it's a great way of meeting people and experience that you get, and the joys and the resilience you have to build, as you know yourself, Shannon. But I definitely recommend it to anybody.
I've often been, we'll say, at the opposite end of the line, looking up at you collecting your red rosettes and your champion sashes, and you have had a huge amount of achievements. But if you were to pick out one, is there any achievement that stands out in particular?
We can't forget 2023. Like 2023, it was just unbelievable. We had two calves. We'd suggest Timothy and suggest Eureka, and we knew they were nice calves, but there was no expectation at all. I suppose our first local show was Riverstown here. That's our County Sligo show.
Yeah.
We went with, you know, Suggest Timothy. He won his class, but Suggest Eureka, she ended up interbreed champion that day, beating really good cattle and good commercial cattle as well along the way. But we never thought that she'd be champion or interbreed champion. She was only a January calf. Then the next show, then we go to Urus, then over Belmullet, and that's a real social show for us. And yet again, you know, you have the likes of Richard O'Byrne here, a guy that, you know, you've spent all your life looking at catalogues and brochures, and you see Richard O'Byrne, and all of a sudden now Richard O'Byrne is giving you the interbreed sash and telling you you have a great calf. Like, it's getting surreal.
Yeah.
But I suppose going to Tullamore then, it's a bit like a racehorse. You're kind of building form the whole time. And then Tullamore comes, and then Suggest Eureka, she gets third in her class. But then Suggest Timothy, she ends up getting the overall Charlie champion on that day. And I suppose what made it very special was, and I think, and I could be standing to be corrected, but I think it's the first time ever that has happened in Charlie breed, that Suggest Timothy's mother, Suggest Marta, she won the championship medal or the gold medal in Tullamore in 2017.
Okay.
And then for her son to come back then in 2023 and to win the exact same title.
Some achievement, Niall.
That was very special. I don't think, I remember somebody passed me and says, I don't think it's ever been done in the Charlie breed. And I don't think it has. But it is just, that was some achievement. And then this is when the pressure starts, Shannon. You know, all of a sudden you're after winning Tullamore, you're after winning the gold medal. Now you have a bull calf, and with our herd here, we've got two or three pedigree beaten cows. So it's very small, very limited. It's all AI. Don't have the use for a bull, so we have to go and sell our bulls. But Suggest Timothy, all of a sudden now, he's after winning the biggest achievement of 2023 that can be won, the gold medal. And all of a sudden now, he's to go for sale to the Christmas cracker. So there was massive, I'm not going to lie to you, there was massive, pressure on our shoulders, because all of a sudden if he went into Christmas cracker show and sale, and there's a show before the sale, and all of a sudden then Suggest Timothy, all of a sudden he comes fifth or sixth, and then all of a sudden then the conversation starts, sure, he wasn't good enough to win that day, or, you know, those.
Yes, yeah.
So then he arrives at Christmas cracker, and he ended up then getting intermediate male champion then at the Christmas cracker, and that just put everything to bed, and then he went off to sell for 12-1 then. Like, looking back at all the winners, it was just a remarkable year. A good friend of mine asked me the other day, he says, right, if I was to give you a gold medal in Tullamore, winning it, and winning the calf show, then the national calf show,
yeah,
or else giving you 50,000 of a check, which one would you pick? And straight away, I says, a gold medal in the calf show, whatever. That's what I pick. And you know, like,
and I'd say you got some looks for that night.
That's what I pick. And I suppose, like, you've been there on national stage, you have witnessed it. Like, is there a better feeling being at the Tullamore Livestock Show? And you know, you're meeting neighbours, you're meeting family, you're meeting friends. You know, they're all there. I think for me, winning a red rosette at the National Livestock Show is better than, I don't know, about 50,000 euro check, but it's up there.
It is some feeling. And like, as you said there now, like, you do only have a small herd, like you're saying, two or three cows. Like, do you think that has kind of in a way created more opportunities because you've had to be more selective and careful, or would you say that it probably has hindered you a small bit, or what way do you kind of look at it from your own perspective?
Yeah, look, I suppose, great question. I suppose, yeah, like, people think that, right, you have to get into, you know, to get this gold medal, to just say, in Tullamore, just say that's your end goal, right? So if you want to get that gold medal, you have to get 30 cows, 40 cows. Well, not really, like, I think it starts with your female. Like, if you have one good female, that's all it takes. Like, I do believe 90% is the female and 10% is the bull. Now, there's facts out there that will tell me a lot different. But for me, I think your female is everything. And I think if you look at your calves, you will see your calves are very much like the female.
Yeah.
It's very much like the dam. We didn't have the scope to expand. Anytime we tried to expand, it failed for us in a way that management wise couldn't give them the same attention. So I'll give you an example. Like, so all of a sudden you've for 2023 you've Timothy then on one field, he's a bull, and then you've Eureka then in another field, and she's a female. So, you know, you have to manage that in that case as well, especially when we're small here. You know, it's not like we're five star with our fencing or anything like that. So we have to be careful with management.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, like with the calf there that was born in July, the good heifer calf was born, but she didn't get the same attention because our main focus was these two calves, and because we knew there was an opportunity to do well at shows. But in numbers wise, like, you know, my advice to a lot of people would be, you know, keep it low, get your understanding of what you have, and then you can expand it. So if you have that gem of a cow or gem of a female, why don't you keep females off her? Don't be just. You know, start building with her. You know her background, you know her foundation, you know, you know what bulls, you've tried and tested different bulls, you're gaining that knowledge. Instead of, if you had then 20 or 30 cows there, you know, management gets a bit tougher. You know, it's getting, you know, injuries can happen, you know, because you've a lot then in a pen and the bullying going on between them, and you know, it's getting tough. And then most of us have another income coming in, like we're obviously, you know, we're working. Farming at the end of the day and this showing is supposed to be a hobby, and we forget about that, I think, sometimes. Yeah. I'm teaching myself, so I'm very fortunate, you know, I get good holidays.
What you're trying to tell the listeners is that teaching is a cozy job and will allow for all the hobbies.
No, it'd be tough when you're correcting mocks during your midterm. It's not easy, but like, you know, the likes of like the midterm last week, you know, like I spent all my time farming while dodging the mocks. I've spent most of my time out the farm, and like, there is dairy men with a larger scale that's spending less time with their stock than what I'm at. But
yeah,
it's a love for me. But you know, if I was to say to your listeners, buy, select that good female, even if you have to spend that bit extra, if she is that good female, know, get her, buy her. She's going to give you enjoyment. She's hopefully going to give you a return. That's the most important thing. You have to get your return out of it as well. You have to, and I suppose a lot of these, you know, a lot of these females, we don't hear a lot of these females when they're sold, but a lot of this management, you have to be prepared. You have to be set up. You have to be prepared to put in the time. The management of it, it takes a lot of hard work, and you have to be willing before you purchase that female. You have to prepare yourself and say, look, this is going to take hard work. This is the plan. And then you go from there. I suppose we just never had the scope. Acres-wise, we never had the scope. And shed-wise, we never had the scope to expand into big numbers.
And just before we move on now, because I know it is topical at the minute and people are kind of, like, they're probably listening thinking, like, Jesus, these lads have gone on really well with really small numbers. And we won't get too much into the nitty-gritty of it. But, like, if you were to advise a young person or a new breeder to, we'll say, go down the stars direction and listen to ICBF, or would you tell them to go out and buy the animal that they really like and that they will say that they would count as a five-star to look at them?
Yeah.
Like, what sort of rule would you...
Look, at ICBF, there's been a lot of... And it's so topical, okay? But we have to remember, ICBF, there has been so many positives with ICBF. Like, isn't it a great thing how we can just click... And finding the bull back in 1987 or 1988 or 1983, we can find out data about them. We can find out data then when a cow has last had a calf. We can, like, that on that aspect, ICBF has been a game changer. And I think every other country, I know Bulgaria, because I was speaking to a farmer in Bulgaria recently, and he was pointing out all the positives of ICBF, and he is hoping that Bulgaria will emulate ICBF here in Ireland. So that's the positive, okay?
Okay.
But I think, yes, I think data can be a bit different. Meaning, you know, recently we had a whole star change, and we had different evaluations come out. And, you know, I think that really upset farmers that you could have then a three-star bull, and all of a sudden, overnight, he is now a five-star bull. And I think that's where it was upsetting a lot of farmers. Right, to give you my own opinion, I never look at stars. And people would ring here and say, oh, what star is he? And I'd say, honestly, I haven't looked, but I can look for you and send you a screenshot of it and whatever.
Yeah.
I think when you're going out to buy a female, I wouldn't look at stars at all. You have to look visually. I wouldn't look at stars at all buying a female. No.
Okay.
So the bull that won in 2023, he won the gold medal in Tullamore, suggests Timothy, that we've discussed already, his star rating wasn't good because his mother... Marta, she originated in France. They probably didn't have enough data on her. While she was a gold medal in Tullamore. Then the father, he was Balmile Vagabond, standing in Bova AI. He won over in Stirling, but probably not enough data on him. So star rating, he wasn't great on his stars. Lucky enough, the valuation just before the Christmas cracker changed.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, he ended up going 12,100, and the guy that bought him never looked at his stars. Never looked at his stars. Now, he was from Derry, he's Northern Ireland.
Okay.
So his stars figures a big thing to him. So for us, I suppose my main thing here is showing. I love that aspect of it. Now, I remember, Jordan, just after COVID, we'd done a farm walk, and I in the farm walk, this question came up about stars, and I made the comment that I says, you will never see, you know, an easy calving bull sire a red rosette winner in Tullamore, right?
Okay.
And then Tullamore came along, and sure, it happened, like, you know. So I was like, oh God, I'll never mention that again. You're going for that easy calving bull. It's a different type of carcass. It's a different type of animal that you're going for. You're going for that kind of heavier, muscular bull. you're going to get a different character, so you're going to get a different animal.
Yeah, it's probably just a sacrifice you're kind of...
What I would advise is definitely when you're buying a female, I wouldn't be looking at stars. I wouldn't be looking at milk figures and all this, because you can see it's highlighted recently of where cows are one star for milk and they could be the best milkers in the herd. Don't look for that. The visual is the most important thing, and then you can look. I'll never forget, I was over in France. Mommy was young, very young at the time, and Jerry O'Keefe from Limerick was in our company, and I never forget, he just turned around to me and he says, "Never judge a bull by its picture." Okay. I thought it was a great advice. You know, when we're always looking at pictures of bulls in sire directories and that.
Yeah.
And he says never look at a bull, never pick out a bull from its picture. I thought it was a brilliant statement, and I'll always remember it. And the same thing when you're picking out your animal, you know, don't look at the stars straight away, especially with a female. Look visually, see then, right, is she one that will produce then a winner for me? Does she have a nice head? Does she have a good shoulder? Does she have a good calving ability, the good pelvic area? Is she correct on her feet? You know, they're the visuals, and then you can look down at the book and say, right, what breeding is she? And then you can say, right, stars wise, is there a bull that I could use to bring up stars or whatever? But look, at ICBF has been positive. In my opinion, it is a game changer to think that we have a database in this country that has recorded a record of every animal. But I think the evaluations just lets it down a little bit, that how an animal can go from 4-star to 2-star. And I think that's where there's a lot of unrest with a lot of breeders. Because all of a sudden that does affect their pocket. So that's why there's a lot of unrest with that. So hopefully I've answered that.
Yeah,
all right.
Perfect. So you mentioned there that you did make that cosy change to teaching. But before that, you were banking, were you, like your mum and dad?
I was with Bank of Ireland, and I loved the bank. Part of my role with the bank, I used to go around to schools promoting a financial literacy programme with primary schools, secondary, and then third level, where I would design different financial literacy programmes and go into school about online safety. It could be on about how to open a bank account, could be on about how a business structure takes place. And from there, then, I never forget, a teacher says, "Why don't you do teaching?" Then a friend of mine, Robbie O'Halloran, he got on to me, and he was after doing it as well. And I says, "Do you know what? This is my time to do it during COVID." And 12 of us left the bank. That time we went different roads, different paths. But I went the teaching route, and it's been brilliant. It's super.
Yeah. And had you ever thought about teaching or going back to study before that, or was it just kind of a random notion you took?
Always. But I suppose I never really, in school, thought, I definitely thought about being a teacher, but I never really knuckled down to get the points for it. I blame the cattle for that. I always wanted to, but it was always a dream, but probably wasn't the right time at that time. And I'd done 4 years in it doing business and financial services, and then an honours business degree, and that's from getting those degrees that could get me then to teaching then. So it's been a brilliant decision, and another thing I'd recommend to a lot of farmers, it blends in well with the farming life as well.
Sure, 3 months after, the summer is not too bad.
Another day here.
I'll leave it at that. So I suppose you're a big football man as well then. People probably recognise you from club or county football, or from your time on the Underdogs. And would you tell the listeners maybe a bit about your football career?
It's amazing. It's amazing how you know, and your listeners are, you know, to compliment things like the football complements the cattle and cattle complements the football. I was involved with the underdogs of Paul Galvin, Ray Silk and Valerie Mulcahy, and that was a brilliant experience. But it's amazing, they really took an interest in the idea of me farming and washing cows, and they came down and videoed me washing the cows, and they thought this was just hilarious.
They probably thought you were mad.
Oh, mad, totally mad. Like, there we are once a week there washing and blow drying a cow, and they're like, what is going on? But it was a great opportunity. We got to play against the All-Ireland champions Dublin. Owen Merchant was marking me that night, and Johnny Cooper caused a bit of a fight as well with us that night as well. But it was a great time. I've recently got into running now, kind of. I'm getting a bit old now for the Gaelic. A lot of young fellas are creeping up, so I've got into running, and we won the Connacht cross country there just before Christmas, and so that's what I'm at now, running. But I'm supposed to be running. I was actually supposed to be running this morning at 8 o'clock, and I woke up and I seen the weather was so good, and I said, you know what? No, I'll go and wash the two heifers. So I ended up washing the two heifers instead of going training. So that just tells you about what cattle does to you. Cattle comes first.
Excellent. Very good. And are you a big football parish up there, Niall?
No, like Ross's Point would be known for probably sailing and golf. Okay. We wouldn't, like, even agriculture wouldn't be like around us. It would be like, it wouldn't be agri at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have, what you'd have is you'd have a lot of fields around us that would be rented to probably sheep or, you know, our cattle as well. A few fields rented as well.
Okay.
But it's mostly golf and probably sailing is what Ross Point is known for. So, you know, it's my neighbours. Yeah. Neighbours call up here regularly with kids. The idea of going out looking at the cows and the quad, it's like a zoo up here. Our structure here in we've no tractor. We never had a tractor. So right. What we do is we used to always make square bales of hay, and then we kind of progressed and then I suppose the weather got very bad that we had no option only to start making round bales. So what we do is we rent a field about 3 minutes away from us here, and then that's we do our two cuts out of that, and okay. we kind of make haylage, and then we have a quad then with a bale trailer, and the bale trailer, it's a motorized trailer where it lifts up the bale, and it's a handy tool, and I definitely recommend a bale trailer if anyone has no tractor. But yeah, we've no tractor, so it's just quad, bale trailer, fertilizer spreader, a topper for the back of the quad, and that's really how we manage it here. We don't have slats, so each animal has kind of their own pen, to avoid any injury or fatality. So we've no slats, never believed in slats, so they kind of lie in on a cubicle, rubber mat, and we leave them out as long as possible. So last week we let out 4 in calves to be calved in September, so they're gone out, kind of rough enough land that, but like, so we don't mind that, you know, we'll roll it and get it back, but we don't mind if it's poached a bit. But our calves are still in. We'll be yearling heifer going for the premier sale on the 16th of March, the Charlie premier sale. She's in, obviously, to be minded for that. But so we never believed in slats. We just, you know, I have a friend that's in the dairy game, and every time he comes into the house for a cup of tea, it's, you'll hear, oh, we lost the cow on the slats, and we just never move that way either. And especially kind of we're in a built up residential area,
spreading slurry was never really an option for us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for neighbours, neighbours point of view.
Of course, yeah.
So that's what we're big believers in sawdust, so rubber mats, sawdust, and we use straw then on calving then. Kind of straw is a lot of work for us to clean out, so that's why we kind of believe more in the sawdust. Okay. Whenever we can get it, you know, the availability can be a problem in that aspect.
Yeah, and like you're saying there, that one thing kind of complements the next, but did you ever find it hard to kind of balance the farm and the football, the job, maybe going back to college and trying to have a bit of a social life up there as well, or did you kind of manage it fairly well?
Unbelievable. So I got, after the underdogs, I was fortunate to get called into the county team. Okay. And we were training, you train 6 nights a week, so we used to have Mondays off. So like I never forget, we were playing Cavan, we played Donegal, the opening of a school above in Letterkenny. And we were playing Donegal, that was on the Sunday, came back. Like you would have spent the whole day away, then Monday was off, then Tuesday back in the gym, Wednesday then you would meet in St. Bridget's in just outside Athlone, to accommodate the Dublin lads. Used to ride home at 1:30 in the morning then from that training into gym Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday back football. So a lot of time spent. But I'll never forget this particular occasion where we just had a section, and I sent a picture of the section to the manager at the time, and I just said, look, I won't be able to make training. You know, I have to give this calf beast, and I just happen to have a section here. But no, there wasn't too much sympathy for me. I was expecting a response of like, oh my God, and was it a bull or a heifer? But no, the response was like, don't be late again. So I do find, you know, when you get into bigger numbers like that, probably this winter we got into a bigger numbers, time management and balancing time, yes, it can be difficult, especially with that bull calf that we were getting ready for the Christmas cracker. You know, to give you an example, he was washed 3 times a week. Blow dried 3 times a week. He was, you know, he was on a good ration, a good feed stuff. You know, he was kept clean. His pen was kept clean. The hair kept good. So there was a lot of work around him. So that's, you know, time management and balancing time. Yes, it can be difficult. Like I have a friend there that has every, like he has sheep, he has cattle. And it's amazing, he has a life. Juggling time, and I suppose we used to do a lot of shows. You know, growing up, we would do a lot of shows. Nearly every weekend, you'd be away at the shows. But I suppose we've kind of just limited now the shows that we do going forward, because, you know, they can take a lot up. They can take a lot of time up. But you know, you kind of have other interests as well. Because, you know, people don't see when you're at Tullamore in August and you know, it's a great day and you're meeting neighbours, but people don't
yeah, they never really realise the work that goes in kind of behind the scenes, I suppose.
Yeah, like you probably go to bed at 12 o'clock before Tullamore, 12 o'clock in the morning, then you set your alarm for 3, you're gone, load them up, you're gone at 3:30 or 3:45, and then you arrive to Tullamore and it's just absolute mayhem. And then your show is at 10. You know, it's just, it's a day of adrenaline. You're really just living off on adrenaline. You know, but it's brilliant. I think the showing is just, it's fantastic. It's the people you meet, the connections you meet. It's brilliant. Like the, everybody arrives to Tullamore or wherever, whether it's a local show down south or west or east or north of the country, but they arrive with that hope of doing well. And I think it's brilliant. And I think our shows are, while financially, you know, a lot of friends
of mine that would know nothing about cattle or farming or anything, you know, the first thing they'd say is, oh, how much money did you make? Or how much money, like, financially, you make no money. Yeah, financially, like, let's make that quite clear.
Yeah, financially, it'll break you.
But it's building that reputation, or it's building that connection, and it's building that form.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the racehorse. I always find that showing cattle is very much like the racehorses. It's building that form, and then that progeny, you know, you can sell the progeny, or you can, it's very easy then to sell embryos off that progeny then when they've a bit of form from them. You know, there's a lot of people that they buy, you know, they might buy a heifer for 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000 or whatever, but she might not have any form behind her. Yeah. And then straight away they're going in flushing. You know, I don't believe, you know, that you know, go flush the animal that has form behind it, because, you know, if I ring you, Shannon, and I'd say, look, I have two embryos here. I have one embryo out of Suggest Marta, that one Tullamore in 2019 or 2017, or else I have an embryo here out of a cow. She's going back to breeding out of CF52. She's a nice bit of a cow. We didn't show her now, you know, but which embryo would you buy?
Yeah.
You know, you'd buy the one out of Marta that is one in Tullamore. And that's what the recommendation that I would be giving your listeners as well, that, you know, buy a bit of animal that has a bit of form behind it.
Yeah.
You know, when you look down on their pedigree, did you see, right, their granny or their mother or their sire, right, had a bit of form behind them? You know, at least it's an easier sell then when you're going to sell a progeny or you're going to sell eggs. It's an easier sell for that, because obviously you have that bit of form, you have that bit of uniqueness then to your animal. But
absolutely. And is embryo work something you'd have done a lot of, Niall, or is it kind of up and down?
We've done embryo work, and we've done IVF as well, and we actually have two heifer calves on the ground from resulting from IVF. So, you know, it's the exact same as being at a casino table in Las Vegas. I was never in Vegas, but I can only imagine that it's the exact same as being at a casino table. There's a lot of luck in it. There's a lot of it's high risk.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get that result and get those two heifer calves that we have on the ground, you know, it's brilliant. Like, look at, I can sit here and say all the good days, but there is bad days. Like, we put in 9 embryos during the course of 1 year, and we got 2 pregnancies out.
Jesus, yeah.
You know, like so, you know, that's nobody's fault. It's it's nobody's fault, but that's luck. That's farming.
Yeah, that's the part that nobody tells you about either, Niall. That's everyone, only hear the good stories.
100%. Yeah, like, so, you know, like, out of those, you know, one of those ended up being an All-Ireland champion, and you soon forget that, like, you've lost out on the 7 eggs there. But, like, you know, that's the nature of the game. You know, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs in this farming game.
Yeah.
And be prepared for that. But, you know, the ups definitely outweigh the downs when it goes well. We had a calf that was born. He was 82 kgs born. We get them verified by the Shire Society every time they're born. He was 82 kgs on the scales, verified. He was a day old at that stage. And she calved herself.
God,
she was a big cow, calved herself, the calf, about 6 or 7 weeks later. I noticed that he wasn't sucking the four teats. So what I used to do is I'd have to put her into the crush and drain one of them and hand milk her. He was sucking about 2 of them, but it's 3 at a push. So I noticed this anyway, and so every time, but one day I was there milking her, and I was looking at her calf was in the yard, and I said, oh, that calf is doing really well.
Yeah.
Then, anyway, took her out of the crush, brought her around into the back of the shed, then into her pen. She was following me with the bucket, left down the bucket into the pen. Obviously, he didn't come in after her. He went up on a kind of a soil bank,
And I was like, come on, get down. And all of a sudden, he walked down off the bank and he keeled over, took into a spasm and got a massive heart attack straight in front of him.
Oh,
God. You know, like yeah. That was 2022 that happened. Like, so, you know, that's the downside. It's like, there's definitely downsides. When you see a red ribbon, you know, that breeder has worked for it.
Yeah.
And there has been a rocky road up to that red rosette. But, you know, that's the life of farming. You know, as somebody said to me one time, you know, when you have livestock, you have dead stock.
Yeah.
And that too. But that can be the sad days. Oh, I'll never forget, I cried over that calf. Like, he just died in front of me.
Yeah.
And I the same day, actually, I went down to the grave, down to my mum's grave, and I was just shattered. I was just like, how could this happen?
Yeah.
And I was just walking into the graveyard, and I met this guy, and I knew him, and he says, what's wrong with you? I said, don't talk to me. I says, I'm after losing a calf up there. He's after dying. Massive heart attack, like, he was 6 weeks old, he was a great calf.
Yeah.
And he just started to be, and he had oxygen connected to him, and he says, what are you worried about? He says, what, how much was the calf worth? Ah, this is minimum like 1,500. You know, I just said,
yeah.
1,500, he says. Look at the state of me, he says. And you're giving out about a calf. And I says, do you know what? You're right. Yeah, you kind of have to leave them. Once they're outside, it's outside
the door. When you have small numbers as well, Niall, I suppose, it is difficult. I don't mean it would be easier if you had bigger numbers, but I suppose, like, for lads that have 20 right. cows or 30 cows, it's kind of a smaller blow to take.
You're right, because what happens is your cow, just say, has full of milk. Like, if you had 20 or 30 cows, another calf could suck the cow and keep her right.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, now you've a cow now that has a bag of milk, and now you have to try and keep her right. And all of a sudden now, probably this summer, you have to keep her right down for the summer from mastitis.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get her then in calf. And yeah, look, it can be difficult with AI, you know, everything here. But, you know, we've had ups and downs with AI as well. Just recently, we scanned five. We had four out of the five in calf. You know, that's great for us. The fifth one then, she's 14 years of age, the cow. But things are going right. You know, that was a great return for us, like four out of the five for us to have in calf. But, you know, there's been plenty of times where they have been in calf, and, you know, you're doubting the quality of the semen, and you're doubting, are you doing it in time? And as a guy said to me one time, well, one thing about cattle, they'll keep you out of a mental home night, but they could put you into it as well.
But he's not wrong, whoever he is.
Oh, he's definitely not. No.
And I suppose then, if we just move on again from the cattle, Niall, anyone who knows you knows that you love the crack, and that's no secret. You were Mocker Mr. Personality not that many years ago, were you? We'll drag up the past.
I don't know what to say about that. Yeah, I enjoy good time as well. I suppose what I'd like to think I'm a positive sort, and I suppose you have to keep positive. And I know COVID, it was very easy to get negative during COVID. And was in the staff room one day, and the roads were bad, but it was actually a lovely crispy frosty day, and I came in and God, that's an awful day. And I says, well, isn't it absolutely fantastic from my back? And they're just looking at me, they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, with all that sort, like the macro sort, and look, at they're all great organizations, they're all good crack. Like, so now next Friday, this another school is doing a fundraiser, and where they're having an auction, and I'm auctioneering for them, you know. I enjoy that bit of the social side of the auctioneering. Look, there's a lot of things that I do get involved in. A lot of people might say that I'm involved nearly in everything, but I enjoy all that kind of social aspect and the community aspect. And if I wasn't getting involved, somebody else would have to get involved, or nobody might get involved. So yeah, look, but I enjoyed that sort of thing. but to balance it all, yeah, it can be difficult. That's what a lot of people would say to me here, like, do you ever stop? And probably I don't ever stop, but I enjoy it. Keep positive is the main thing, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good. So now we might move on to the quick fire round then, if that suits you. Charlie's or Smendel's?
Look, at I suppose I, my neighbour Paddy Henley, right? What a man! He's probably a second father of mine. He has had massive success with Smendel's, and I grew up in an era of looking at him showing cattle and in awe, and still in awe of him, how he can manage cattle, Smendel's. But I can't let down my own breed, Charlie. They are the number one beef breed. They've had exceptional run the last few years. You know, it's the Charlie. You know, they're going well. They're stronger than ever. You know, the Premier sale is coming up, where there's bulls and heifers for sale. We have a heifer ourselves for sale, but definitely worth going to see. I think the standard of Charlie cattle has improved a lot. But for me, Charlie is my love. But I've followed very closely by Smendel's. I do love Smendel's. I have Smendel yearbooks at the side of my bed. But Charlie, I think for me, I'm gonna say Charlie. Yeah.
Okay. I'll remember that the next time I meet you in the show ring.
I can hear my phone ringing now, Paddy and Henley, just like, what did you just say? a neighbour fallout here at the minute.
Very good. I think you've answered this one already, but farming or football?
Farming. The cows can't shout back at you. Compared to football, you'd have every lunatic shouting at you. And me shouting at them, so at least I can shout at the cattle, they can't shout it back at me. But yeah, cattle in my life are number one.
Good. Picking stones or a day in the bog?
Would you believe it? I've never done a day in the bog. I don't want either. but I've never done a day in the bog. Never. Picking stones, yeah.
Okay. So for all the listeners now around the country, Niall Canning is soft.
Yeah, soft and handsome, yeah. Correct. Thank you. I'd be big into climate change and all that, so that's my that's my excuse.
Very good. And the last one then, Niall, breakfast roll or chicken roll?
Yeah, I've never ate an egg in my life. Yeah, so a breakfast roll with no butter, ketchup, black pudding, bacon and rasher.
Okay. Sorted. It's an interesting
choice. Sorted, yeah, no butter, no. And I've never had an egg in my life. I've never had cheese. I don't eat cheese on a pizza.
Is there a story behind that, or is that just, are we just taking that as fact?
I've had this conversation there at the weekend where I dropped that bombshell, and like the looks, they're like, so how do you order pizza? And I'm like, yeah, just kind of cheese. I really enjoyed this. I suppose, you know, like Shannon, I suppose your listeners and like what I definitely recommend, like if you like get into the show and even if you know somebody that's showing, tag along with them, get into it, the enjoyment that you'll have. Like, for 2024, please God, I cannot wait for 2024 because my sister's kids are kind of at that age where they want to go showing cattle. And like, I'm kind of at the attitude, I've done what I've done, I've achieved what I've done, and I'm happy with what I've done. And like, I want them to enjoy it. And that's what it's all about. I think the showing, yes, it is gone very, I think it's gone extremely competitive. But, you know, that can be healthy too. But yeah. I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that this is a hobby. And cattle are a hobby. And I think we get very excited and
know, and everyone is so passionate about it, whether it's at a meeting or whether it's at shows, they're so passionate. It's great. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a hobby. Like Rat Downey last year, I'll never forget, like, it was the wettest day in the year down at Rat Downey show. Like, if I was just saying to myself, imagine if it was a helicopter or a plane of people overhead and seeing people getting absolutely soaked and the cattle under tents dry.
Yeah.
Like, is that not a form of just absolute madness? But look, I think that's the madness that we're all used to. But that's my only thing, that I think it is called very competitive. But I think we have to always remember it's a hobby, and always remember that there's enjoyment to it. But definitely recommend your listeners to go get yourself a Charlie Cement limousine, Belgian Blue, whatever, commercial, whatever you're into. Hereford or whatever, and get your nice animal, get your show, because it is a great journey to be on, and as I said, you can tour the country and talk cattle, and it'll get you out of any sticky situation. I believe me in that.
I'll second you on that one, then.
Yeah, all right.
And so, look, we might leave it there. Thanks a million for joining me for this week's podcast, Niall. I really appreciate it. Sure, we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks a million. I wish you all the best for 2024.
And
thank you.
And same to yourselves. Thank you. So, folks, unfortunately, that is all we have time for this week. I'd like to say a special thank you again to Niall for taking time out of his busy week to speak to me on this week's podcast. I think you'll all agree that Niall is a wealth of knowledge on a multitude of topics. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast as much as I did. Thanks a million for listening, and until next time, safe farming.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career, or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66465.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.